Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. Come save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
We most certainly do love our country and our nations. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglian EDL radio show, the official English Defence League's radio station and the official voice of the EDL. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have our co-host, which is Kel, aka the Red Fox, who's really helped me out tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you might remember before I've had situations where I can't get through into the studio. It's not long enough. Let up on me. Tonight was the same situation. Just to let you know, there was panic stations going on in this this end of the world. But thank goodness we have Kel, who's a godsend, who quickly stepped in, realised there was a situation, and got the show up and running. So there you go. I've got to thank you, Kel. I can't see if there or not, Kel, because I've got the studio, but I haven't got nothing lit up or anything. But I've got to thank you for quickly stepping in and doing what you do the best. Thank you, Kel.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jeff. And how are you doing today other than that?
Well, I'm still getting my breath about me because it is a bit of a panic scenario, isn't it, when that sort of thing happens. And it's happened before. I don't know. It might be a bug or whatever. I don't know. But it just, I won't go into it. It's old news, isn't it, that sometimes you go to call in and you can't get on. The studio won't light up. And that's the situation tonight. But thank goodness you got all the lights and the bells dinging along at your end, Kel. So, and of course, I noticed I got the chat room as well. So that is one good thing. So it's good to see everybody in the chat room this evening. I'm working a little bit blind, but thank goodness Kel has been my my guide person this evening. And doing
that's
a fantastic
me.
Job.
That's okay.
I've got
everything here. Yeah, I've got the studio and everything, and it's all lit up. It's all gravy here. It's all good.
That is that. That's the
you know what that
thing.
Means. You can't see the studio at. You can't see the studio at all. Oh, that's a shame, Jeff.
Well, I can see the studio. I've got the studio.
No, I'm just saying that I'm going to have myself a little bit of fun in the studio all by myself.
Oh, my goodness me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to tighten my seatbelt here because it could be a bumpy ride. She might start talking about spiders like they did last night, ladies and gentlemen.
We're not going to talk about spiders tonight.
No,
we're not going to. We're not going to do that. I mean, I would never do that to you, Jeff, because I know how you feel about spiders.
Listen,
what's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we know Kel very well. Well, I know her very well.
We're very, very naughty.
What's that in the background?
That's Spider-Man.
Oh, I've just got to let everybody know that we might...
Here comes the Spider-Man.
Oh, my goodness. He's Spider-Man.
Well, you left me alone in the studio.
you see, guys, this is what happens. You let your co-hosts on the loose and they frighten the life out of me with Spider-Man tunes and things like that. But,
and there you
I was going to say, Kel, tonight Tim Burton, the Cat Strangler 101, meow, he might be a little bit late.
Meow.
As a family, I think he's on an outing with his family, so he might be a little bit late return. I do know Mr. Tommy English, he's with his firm. They've got to sort something out, so he might be a little bit late this evening. So it's just one of those things. These things do happen. And, you know, families, you know, things have got to be done with your families and where work's concerned, isn't it, Kel? So, and hopefully we'll see him before the end of the evening, because I know Tim said he'll do his best. So, and it's always a pleasure to have Tim and Tommy on the show. But, we get by like we always have, and don't we, Kel? We've got a great chat room, as usual. It's buzzing, and that's what
filling
I really
up.
Like to
Everybody's
say.
Filing it's in and saying certainly. Hello to everybody else, and it's looking good.
That certainly is, Kel. That's what I like to see. I've got up one of these horrible little pop-ups that's covering people's names here, though. That's the problem I've got at the moment, and I'm trying to lose it, and I can't. Every time I go to lose it, it opens another page up. And you get that problem now and again. It's some
yeah,
actual
it's weird though, but because we're signed in as host and co-host, we shouldn't be getting those. I can see the people in the chat room getting them, but I don't understand how you're getting them because you're signed in as the host or co-host, or I'm not sure who's the host or the co-host.
What I'm going
the host
to do
the
now, I'm just going
co-host?
To refresh that page, Kel, and it might,
oh,
I
okay.
might lose that. That's what happens sometimes. You refresh the page and you lose those stupid adverts because that's what they are. When you got people,
yeah.
Oh, I just see someone that I haven't seen for a little while. Rockstar, it's so good to see you in the chat room this evening. And Kel, there's a gentleman here. Take his name. It's Mr. Richard Millington of the Cambridge Division. Take his name.
Well, first of all, I want to say hello to Rockstar, too. That's our Allison.
It's certainly
Richard,
is, good to see you.
Richard did it.
Richard did it, yes. Take his name.
Taking his name. But he's not late tonight.
No, he's spot on. But we're going to take his name anyway. We all take his name.
Okay.
It won't be the same if we didn't take
I got my
his
pen
name,
and pad then. Here. Let me get my pen. Here, I'll get my truncheon instead. There we go.
Oh, my goodness, mate. See what you've got coming to you now, Richard. Anyways, we'll see him in the office a bit later on, won't we, Kel? Yes, we will, yes. We've
absolutely
got Poppy
we will.
Also. Poppy, good to see you. God bless you, Poppy, with all the great
oh,
work.
Oh, yeah. Poppy just sent
oh,
me an article. I'm going to take a look at it in a few minutes, maybe when we go to a break. It's to do with the Lee Rigby trial, and that is something we'll be touching on today as well, isn't
we
it?
We most
Jeff?
Certainly will, Kel. As I say, it's the second day of the trial today, and this is more of the serious aspects of the poor family had to. There was actually video evidence of the actual what actually happened to Lee being run down. But you only see a little clip of it, which was on the TV. But the jurors got to see what these co-animals, these despicable people from hell, done to this great serving gentleman of this country. Also, you know, the parents. If I was a parent, I don't think I would have wanted to listen to exactly, you know, all the horrific. Graphical details. It was graphical details.
Yeah.
They said to try to actually decapitate poor Lee.
I certainly would not
absolutely.
Want to see the entirety of the CCTV
no.
at all. Absolutely
no,
Kel, not.
I'm like
it's,
you.
It's very, very tragic. It's very.
It's distressing. And as I say, my thoughts and prayers go out to Lee and his family and his wife and his little boy. To everybody who knew him, he was a great guy, by all counts. So a very sad loss to our country and our nation of a great young soldier as he was. But also we've got
yeah.
Lady Michelle in the chat room this evening. Good to see you, Lady Michelle, as usual. And we've got a dear friend of ours, Kel, Holder Awakens with his own great show.
Yeah,
great
we've got
boy.
Everybody in here. Yeah.
No, you certainly. I hope you don't mind me doing a quick ride. Because, as I say, when I got it back, I just wanted to see who's in the chat room this evening. So I'm reading from top to going up the queue as such. We got a couple of guests, so we're giving a big wave to the guests and a salute. we got Echo, and it's always good to see you, Echo, in the chat room this evening as well. And guess who we got as well this evening? We've got Dodgy Dave. Oi, oi, Dodgy.
Dodgy Dave.
Good to see you, Dodgy Dave. And I haven't seen Colin for a little while. It's Mr. Colin Dodds. Colin, it's always a pleasure to see you, brother. It's always good to see you here. And a dear, dear friend of mine also here this evening, British News, my dear, dear friend for many, many years, Army, who wasn't too well the other night. And I hope you're feeling a little bit better this evening, bruv. And of course, we got yourself, Kel. A.K.A. the Red Fox Blogger herself, as the co-host, and you got little old me, humble old me, Jeff, A.K.A. No Surrender, E.D.L. So there you go.
Ever.
We've done an early roll call, but I think it's nice now and again to do something a little bit different on the show, isn't it? And it's always nice to hear your name mentioned on the show as well. You're not a great girl.
I do agree. And it's nice because it's so nice that people go out of their way, out of their busy days, out of their busy schedules to come here and join us and listen to the listen to a sensible you and the ratings of a mad fox. So it's another Thanksgiving gift for us, although we're Canadian. I'm Canadian and you're British.
I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving Day yesterday. We did give a call out to everybody. I hope they had a great day yesterday. So, and a great Hanukkah. Is it Hanukkah, the Jewish
people? It is Hanukkah, so we hope our Jewish friends are enjoying those 8 crazy days.
Yeah.
Oh, Lady Michelle says, hey, any excuse to party and eat, Kel and Jeff. I agree with that. I'll drink to that.
Yes.
I'll eat to that.
I'll drink to that as well, Kel. Absolutely. Superb. So, yeah, as I say, we had a very, very busy show last night, didn't we? And we hit on a lots of topics and that, like we normally do.
Oh, yeah.
And we never know exactly what road we're going to go down when we open the show, because, you know, sometimes we like to do things like that. As, you know, as people come in, maybe call in, we can expand on different things we might have been discussing. But it's always good, and that's why we like having a panel as well, isn't it, Kel? So different people,
that's
different
right.
views as well.
And I got a message from Michael, and he'll be joining us a little later as well.
That's Mr. Michael Green, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go into a topic, though, Jeff, I want to share this with you and the listeners. I was just going over my emails right before we came to air, and there was something from Bare Naked Islam. And I thought, okay, what is this? Because I love Bonnie's site. So I thought, what is this? And she has a post here, and it's Jimmy David Cameron. He says it's irresponsible for Facebook to post Muslims beheading videos. But now that Facebook has said they will allow beheading videos to be posted, perhaps we'll get to see one of David Cameron's. But the thing is, this is a 35-second clip. Now, I'll play the audio, but I want to explain it. When they do the newscast, you know how they take camera two, and they show footage, for example, so you're not seeing the anchor person. Well, the camera one came back a little too soon, and the anchor person is making the cutting motions, across his throat with a big grin on his face. I don't think he's a real fan of David Cameron. I'm going to put the link in the chat room and let everybody take a look at it.
Yes,
but this
please.
Is the audio. Here's the audio of it.
Thank you, Kevin.
...to attack the company for reversing the ban on extreme videos of beheadings being posted on its site. On Twitter, the Prime Minister said, it is irresponsible of Facebook to post beheading videos, especially without a warning. They must explain their actions to worried patients. Violent videos were temporarily banned on the site in May after users complained, but now the company is allowing them, saying people can share such material to condemn it, but not to glorify violence. Facebook released the statement earlier today.
Now that's a soundbite, but you have to see the video, and I'm going to put that in the chat room right now. Like I say, guys, it's only 35 seconds long, so take a look and see what this anchor is doing.
Hmm. Thank you, Kel.
Oh, David Cameron. Oh. Reading that article from the Mail Online today regarding the Lee Rigby trial, oh, my goodness. I wonder if David Cameron has any differing opinions about what is going on with this, especially in light of what one of the alleged slaughterers had to say about him, eh? I was reading, Yeah. Yeah, what did he say? I just want to share this part because we're kind of on the David Cameron kick right now. But you people will never be safe. What's his name? Abadolajo. That's sad because they both have the
Michael
Abadolo.
Abadolo, what's his name?
That's the one. Yeah, he's pretty much the ringleader behind this. And, well, he says, You people will never be safe. Remove your governments. They don't care about you. Do you think David Cameron is going to get caught in the street where we start busting our guns? Do you think your politicians are going to die? No, it's going to be the average guy like you and your children. So get rid of them. Tell them to bring our troops back home so you can all live in peace. Leave our lands and you will live in peace. I mean, the guy is clearly not a voter for David Cameron.
No. Exactly. But at the same time, the words that he says just rings hollow. I've got no time for those coranimals who do a brutal thing, then try to justify what they've done, which is probably one of those horrific things, people. And the thing what they was talking about on the news is they had to usher the school children back into the school. I will guarantee there's certain children would have seen exactly what happened to poor Lee. You know, that is quite obvious because they just at that time of day that they were just coming out of school, it's quite obvious. And you know how quizzical children are. I can guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, some children would have saw exactly what unfolded on our streets of London that day. And and people tried to justify their acts. And David Cameron tried to justify, this was nothing to do with Islam. It bloody well was to do with Islam. The guy read a verse out of the Quran, saying he was commanded to do what he did on that day. So with David Cameron and that stupid Boris Johnson, get your heads out your backside, man up and speak out against these horrific people. What's in our midst that people like you have allowed to come onto our shores and to cause the problems that they're doing? About time we have politicians with backbones, something that we've talked about time after time. And it just, the more I when I hear and I read about the story about Lee, what happened to him, the way that these people try to justify, try to make excuses for them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war with this cult. Be under no illusions. People might think, oh, it's not coming my way. Yes, it is coming your way very soon. And it's about time people really start to stand up. I know there's a lot of people now who are sort of becoming more, accountable with themselves exactly with what they're doing with themselves. And thank goodness. But we need more people. And that's what we call upon all the time. It's about time. Our countries can do a lot better than what we've got with the politicians, people like David Cameron and the Nick Cleggs and all that. Every time people vote for these people, you're going to get more pain. You're going to get the same crap with these people. Time for a change in politics. Time for real leaders, not appeasers. And I've gone on a rant. My apologies, Kel, but I just had to
Good
do it.
Good for you. Good
Thank
for you.
You.
And you know what? I'll tell you that if this isn't enough to convince the democide government that England is dealing with, I have his note, and this is from Adebolajo. He wrote this handwritten note, and he handed it to a witness on the street. And let's see what Adebolajo had to say. And I just got a pop-up here from somebody. Hang on. Sorry.
No problem.
There we go. Sorry about that, Jeff. I got a bit of a distraction there. yeah, so what does he have to say, Adebolajo? Before Adebolajo 28 and his accomplice, Michael Adebolawi, who is 22, were gunned down by armed officers, jurors were told he passed a handwritten note to a bystander. It read, "To my beloved children, know that to fight Allah's enemies is an obligation, the proofs of which are so numerous that a handful of any of them cuts out the bewitching tongues of the Munafiqeen," and that would be us. "Do not spend your days in endless dispute with the cowardly and foolish if it means it will delay your meeting Allah's enemies on the battlefield. Sometimes the cowardly and foolish could be those dearest to you, so be prepared to turn away from them. When you set out on this path, do not look left or right. Seek Shahidallah, O my sons, so that you might be raised together. And if it is Allah's decree that you are not to be in the hearts of green birds, then be ready for entry to the University of Jusuf, Sindh. Be patient there and be firm there, and inshallah, you will meet your Lord with him, pleased with you. Verily, Allah is those who are patient. If I live beyond this day and you find me taking other, then that is, then know that perhaps Allah has left me to stray. If you find yourself curious as to why carnage is reaching your own towns, then know it's simply retaliation for your oppression in our towns. Many of your people are aristocrats that directly benefit from the invasions of our lands without material loss, whereas the average Joe Bloggs working-class man loses his sons while they are killed by our brothers. When the heat of battle reaches your local streets, it is unlikely that any of your so-called politicians will be at risk or caught in the crossfire, so I suggest you remove them. Remove them and replace them with people who will secure your safety by the immediate withdrawal from the affairs of the Muslims. Muslims will trade with you on fair terms, but understand that the days of your international armed robbery is drawing to a close. To humble yourselves willingly is better for you. May Allah guide your nation to the truth. And David Cameron has nothing to do with Islam, hmm?
I've got to just, Dodgy Dave's made a little statement there, and I like to read that out, and he says, I wonder if Cameron has ensured that Islam is not mentioned during the trial. After all, it was nothing to do with Islam. A very good point that Dodgy Dave made there. He made it quite obvious. He stood there in front of all the cameras and said, it's got nothing to do with Islam. And, you know, what do you think? We're all bloody stupid. That is what it was. And that Boris Johnson, both, they read off the same shit. We spoke about this last night, didn't we, Kel? And as I say, they will be held accountable for their actions, the way they have betrayed in this great nation. They will be held accountable. Guarantee there will be a time and a place that they will answer for what they've done to our country and the way that they try to cover up. Because they're too scared to speak out against Islam. Something that myself, you, and many others will continue to do so. And the times of people like David Cameron and Nick Clegg's doing what they do, and pretending things are not, everything's okay, it's not. And we, as I say, we just want leadership in our countries and our nations, because we have got, as Kel says, an Islamic scourge that is rampaging right away across Europe, right away across the globe, and we need strong leaders to guide us. That's all we ask for, and we've not got it with these people. We've not got it. In fact,
certainly
people like
not.
David Cameron wanted his own war in Syria. The only problem was the rest of the parliament didn't think it was a good idea, so he didn't have his war. And I know he was rather pissed off about that, and good. But there you go. You know, he's trying to go into other countries. Although he's still arming them, isn't he? You know, the Al-Qaeda and all that. We know it's going on in the background. The Americans are arming them, and it's mad what's going on. We just need level-headed people to guide our nations through some dark times that we, for the last over 15, 20 years, that we've been going through. But there you go. It's just some things I like to keep in track with what's going on in the chat room, because there's some interesting things that get said in the chat room, which is only right to read out to our listeners. So once again, Dodgy Dave, thank you very much for that.
Michelle said too, that you know, the Americans have been under attack from the Muslims since the early 1800s. I would say earlier than that. But she also brings up a very good point about still being under attack these days by them, including the one in the White House. And, of course, that is Barack Hussein Obama, and I am not going to deny her that. She's totally correct on that. I'm very concerned about the United States under the auspices of the current president. what he's doing globally is devastating. He's totally dismantling the Middle East, and this nuclear deal with Iran is just absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
What can you say? It goes from bad to worse with this this person, doesn't it? It really does.
Oh, yeah.
Like, things can't get any worse. It does. Kel, I was going to ask you, because I think we're getting talking to everybody. Have we got Tim in the studio by any chance? Is Kat Strange
I just checked and not yet.
Okay, because I did see him in the chat room. So
is he in the? Oh, there. Oh, right, okay. He's here. He is. Okay, he should be calling in a moment then.
Okay,
cool.
I did say I was just keeping an eye on the chat room. It's like on because I can't really see anybody if they call in the studio. So I'm a little bit blind, but I know you're keeping a close eye on these things, Kel. But there you go, guys. And go on.
He's right here. Look at that. Hi.
Well, there
how you doing,
go.
Tim? Oh, he's there somewhere.
Come on, Tim. Come through that bloody cat flap, young man. Come on, work your way through it, boy.
I can hear something.
Oh, bloody dog.
He's stuck. He's stuck in that cat. He's had too much to eat tonight, Kel.
Can you hear me, guys?
Cream.
Can you hear me, guys? You can't
hear
me, can you? Oh, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I had an internet connection problem of some sort as I tried to log in. And that's quite apart from being stuck in the cat flap as I tried to make my way into the studio.
I know, Tim, you've had a good meal and you've had the top of the cream and you've put on a bit too much to get through there. Come on, admit it.
Oh, all right, you caught me.
Tim, we were talking about the Lee Rigby trial. Obviously, there's no longer a blackout, and I was just reciting, what's his name, Etta Bolajo's handwritten letter that he passed off to an eyewitness and how he was raging about Allah and dhimmi governments and this and that and the other thing. But how are you?
I'm good. In fact, Lee Rigby was on my list of things to talk about tonight, only to say that I'd heard that there wasn't a media blackout anymore, and I was just wondering what people had to say about it. Not that I had anything new in particular to add.
Just to interject quickly, I mean, why did they want to have a newsman anyway? What was that about? I think that was wrong anyway.
Was it really a news blackout as such? Because what they did, if I remember, they had a day or a couple of days where they were just taking these guys' names, because that's the way the legal system works. They bring the guys into the court, they say, what's your name, what's your occupation, and so on, just satisfy the court that they are who they say they are, and they say, right, it's now adjourned until another date. So the very first thing that happens is usually not very much. So I don't know if it was a blackout as such. I know that we did get more coverage in the foreign press than we did here, but I didn't really get the feeling that they'd gone all out to suppress anything because it wasn't as if the foreign coverage told us anything new.
It's only right that what happened should be for the public consumption to know exactly what sort of people that we got in lives amongst us that are willing to do these horrific acts. It's only right that the public and the wider public, the worldwide public, gets to know exactly what's going on. You know, news blackouts, it's not right, and I'm glad that that's not going to be the case and that we'll be able to hear this trial and hopefully at the end of it, they'll get the right justly deserves. And I do mean, I say that, I mean, you know, never be released, you know.
Well,
and just to let you know that Michael is joining us as well.
Oh, well, Mr. Michael Green. Oh, Michael, welcome. Welcome to the panel, brother. Good to see you this evening.
Thank you, and hello to Tim and, of course,
yep.
Kel.
Hello,
and,
Michael.
Yes,
hi,
Tim.
Michael.
It's great to be on the air. Thank you very much. Yesterday was Turkey Day in America. Not a good day if you were a turkey, but nonetheless not bad for people who were sitting down and eating turkey.
Not such a good day if you were turkey. Yeah, okay. But that reminds me of somebody sent me a picture of the last. In fact, it wouldn't have been you, Michael. I don't think. But somebody sent me a picture of the last turkey standing after Thanksgiving, and it's obviously photoshopped. And there's this turkey standing. I think he's behind a log, and he's holding a great big shotgun, and he's saying, "Bring it on, bring it on."
And he's got probably a little bandana around the top of his head, yeah?
Well, no, because that would just be silly.
It's not, I'll tell you what, guys, did you ever see, and it was absolutely hilarious, I don't know what part of the world it is, but it was it was out in the jungle somewhere, and there's these guys, I don't know who they was, part of an army or something or other, and there's a monkey that's standing there, and one of them only passed the gun to this monkey, and this was hilarious. This monkey started firing this gun, and you see them all run, and you see this monkey raise the gun in the air and run off into the jungle. It was really funny. It had to be one of the funniest things that I've seen on the internet, and ladies and gentlemen, it is out there. Please just look on YouTube, monkey with a gun. It's so funny.
Jeff, is that the monkey that he? It looks like he has an AK-47.
Yes.
And he's shooting the whole place up in these. They look like soldiers from an African nation, and
that's
they're
right.
Running for their lives. Yeah, that's hysterical.
Yeah, because one of them turned to the other, when he gave the gun to the monkey, he said, "Well, no, no," and before he knows it, this monkey's is pulling the trigger, and he's fired off rounds all over the place. And what really, really made me laugh, Michael, was the way that the monkey, after everybody ran away, he raised the gun into the air in like a victory thing and then ran into the jungle. It was really hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance to watch it,
yeah.
Please do.
Well, I'm glad that Michael is having a wonderful Thanksgiving. That sounds really
yes.
good. And I brought Michael on the air, I just brought him up to speed a little bit as to what the discussion was about. And, of course, that silly Rigby trial. And
yes.
that there's obviously no longer a blackout, thank goodness. And but it was a very tough day for the family. Very much
yes.
feel for the family,
yes.
and I very much feel for the jurors that had to endure the footage that they had to see, and of course they saw all the entire footage on the CCTV cameras, and they had to witness this soldier being slaughtered in the streets. And Poppy actually sent something, and I did not see this until Poppy sent it just now, and this is from Mail Online, the Daily Mail, and they have a clip in here, a video in here, and they do show some CCTV footage of Lee Rigby crossing the street, and they freeze the frame just before the car
yes,
hits him,
that's what
and
I
you can see him,
basically.
And he's crossed. Yeah, I had not seen this until Poppy just sent it, and he's crossing yes. the street, and you can just see the car. It's unbelievable that the
it's
car, how
him,
it went
it?
Out of
its
way.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
yes.
devastating to see. Of course, we don't see the impact, but, of course, we can imagine. The car was going, I believe it was going 50 miles per hour, which would be 80 kilometers an hour. So it was going at quite a clip. And I just pray that that was the last. He didn't. I just pray he never felt it, if you know what I mean.
Well, we don't know. I mean, whether he was conscious or not, we don't know the full extent of Lee's final moments. I know it was absolutely horrific for that young man who's had a little boy that was looking forward to the weekend, going home and being with his wife, his girlfriend, and being with his little boy, and for that absolutely horrific thing to unfold. what we say, yeah, it's the same. My thoughts are always with his family and anybody that knew him. As I say, that's why we will be discussing this on, you know, because this case will go on for a while. So as it unfolds and different things come out, ladies and gentlemen, we will expand on this this most horrific event that happened on
a
London
street.
Yeah,
they're talking about it lasting for about 3 weeks, aren't they? Now, I understand that the way the British legal system works, that these things do take a long time. But I would have thought that establishing the circumstances of what actually happened on the street that day wouldn't really have been a huge problem. So I'm at a loss, really, to see where the three-week period for this trial is justified. Because it seems pretty open and shut on one level. Of course, if it were to turn into a discussion and it ended up that it was Islam on trial and not just these two scumbags that killed Lee Rigby, then it would be a worthwhile expense of taxpayers' money. But I just don't see that being allowed to develop in the courtroom, or even if it is, I just don't see the mainstream media reporting on it and putting that slant on it. It does seem a long time, though. I noticed somebody in the chat room said, can't believe these scumbags pleaded not guilty in the first place. I think that when we first started talking about the trial, I happened to mention that the way the British justice system works
is that you
refer to these people as alleged killers insofar as there's the presumption of innocence until they're found guilty in a court of law, which, you know,
it's always been a standard thing, isn't it?
And I mean, you know, people looking in from the outside, they say, well, you know, how can they possibly plead not guilty? But that's just the way the justice system works. And quite honestly, I think we should be thankful that it does work in that way rather than some sort of third world justice system where people do get thrown into prison for long periods of time for things that they haven't done. And there isn't a proper examination of the circumstances surrounding what they may or may not have done. So there is that to be thankful for, even if sometimes you get cases like this and it really does make your blood boil and you think, well, it's quite obvious what they've done. They've admitted doing it. They've justified it by reference to the Quran and the verse of the sword and everything.
I'm
public,
surprised they didn't demand to be tried under Sharia law.
Yeah, well, like that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that as well, Kel.
They might demand all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, it is going to be British justice that prevails, and hopefully, it's going to be seen to prevail, which is important.
Yeah.
And no matter how impatient we get with British justice sometimes, and how perverse it might seem that these guys have been allowed to plead guilty in the first place, it's nevertheless the presumption of innocence and the way the British justice system works is one of the things that made our country great. So
I think very good point there, Tim.
Yeah, people who are listening,
I have a point to raise here.
You know, they I'd just like to explain that to them. Sorry, Michael. I talked over
okay,
you.
I have two things I'd like to address. First, you might have been discussing this. I didn't catch the first half hour of the program, but the jurors have been instructed not to have any preconceived beliefs or ideas concerning the trial. Now, of course, I don't think there's anyone in England that doesn't know about what happened. At the same time, it's a bit absurd to even make a statement, and I interpret that as some type of politically correct nonsense, so I find it outrageous that was even brought up. Second point would be, now we know there's video evidence, irrefutable proof that they did this for Allah. Of course, that one scumbag, whatever his name is, it's irrelevant, but he's the one with the blood on his hands. Right, exactly. Now, will that be permitted to be introduced in this trial where it's going to be on display?
You've got a good point there, Michael. It might not be permitted.
I tell you, if it's not permitted, it's going to be an absolute outrage.
Well,
and it's,
I mean, obviously we have to see how it develops, but you have got a good point that it's quite possible that there's going to, I mean, there are two things here. One is, did they actually do the crime of which they are accused? And the answer to that is obviously going to be yes, because there's so much evidence, and they can hardly say that they didn't, or it can hardly be argued that they didn't do it, and the jury would be perverse to find them not guilty of actually doing the crime of which they're accused. But as for the motivation, whether
their
motivation is going to be allowed to be explored in the way that it should be is quite another matter. Because I'm sure if you spoke to these guys and said, what was your motivation for doing this, they would probably quote the Quran chapter and verse and say, that is our justification. And if that all went round the world, people would see that what we in the EDL and other counter jihadists have been saying all along, that the justification for the barbarities that are being committed in the name of Islam by devout Muslims have their origins in the Quran and in the Islamic texts. Now, how much of that might come out during the trial, that's going to be down to what is allowed what's allowed to be reported in court. Now, I think the judge has a lot of discretion over what can be pursued in court. And although I don't think he would do this, there are opportunities for judges, if they so wish, if they feel it's not in the public interest, I think they can actually ask for certain parts of the trial to be held away from the public gaze. Now, I don't think they're likely to do
that.
That's right. Now, I don't think they're likely to do that, but nevertheless, he might well have some discretion on how far the prosecution can explore the motives behind the killing. And
well, he can suppress. I didn't mean to cut you off. He can suppress that, the judge, and if the judge is being influenced by any political type nonsense and garbage, which he could be, I don't know the system that well in the UK, but there's two facets to this I see. Number one, he clearly acknowledged, on camera, he acknowledged that he had to kill Lee Rigby, but he said, he prefaced it first before he went into the Quranic stuff.
Yep.
He said about he was killing Muslims in Afghanistan. Now, I am pretty sure, I feel pretty confident that that's going to come out, because they want to make it seem as if, now, there's no justification for this brutal murder, but if they allow that to be introduced, that section of it, let's say, and the second half, which of course relates to Islam and the Quran, and they exclude that, that would be a great travesty, because it's going to give the implication, well, okay, it was a brutal murder, it's a crime no matter what, but here's a soldier, he's over in Afghanistan, and you know he's doing these terrible things and so forth. What do you think of that?
Let me think. We could certainly see a slant being put on it that although they're undoubtedly guilty of performing the act and killing Lee Rigby, there could certainly be a slant put on it which might muddy the waters concerning their motives. It could be argued. Well, no. It couldn't be accepted as an argument by any rational person, but somebody on the defense team might say they did it while the balance of their mind was disturbed, for example, and you know, they might be found guilty by reason of insanity, or I think that's unlikely.
Well, anybody who reads the Quran and
jury would return that verdict. But what I'm saying is that if a judge was sufficiently biased, he could instruct the jury to disregard certain things which are very relevant. Now, if he's a fair judge, he won't do that. And I suppose we've got to wait and see how things unfold before we can say a great deal more about it. But the way
are
the
your
legal
judges
system
appointed or are they voted in? In the United States, judges are voted in. In Canada, they're appointed. I imagine that's the same in England because Canada, being the little sister of England, we follow the same procedures.
As I understand it, I'm quite happy to be corrected if somebody can tell me otherwise, but I believe they're appointed. Okay,
yeah.
rather than voted in, and you would think that in order to be appointed, they would have demonstrated a certain level of fairness and unbiased judgment. Now, it remains to be
seen.
And
Poppy just let us know in the chat room that yes, they are appointed.
Yep, that's fair enough.
yep.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah,
but it's nice to see finer points because some people are not sure. So it's always nice to clarify.
I'm just leading up to a point because I was just thinking if they're appointed, there's really not a whole lot that he would worry about in terms of being a fair judge and his charges to the jury once they go to a deliberation. However, if he is voted, he might have a few issues with that. He will probably want to keep his judgmentship. And he would have to be accountable to the people if they felt that he was unfair in his charges to the jury.
I don't know that I'd want to put too much weight on that side of it because we have had some very, very perverse judgments by judges when it comes to Muslims in the dock. Now, I'm thinking, just to pick a couple of examples, there was one where a group of Muslim girls who had been out drinking brutally attacked a young white girl on the streets of, I forget which town it was, it might have been London, somewhere in England, and they beat her up, they pulled her hair out and they called her a white slag, and the judge said, well, I'm going to be lenient with you Muslim girls because you're not used to drinking. And that's one example of what I would consider to be a perverse judgment. And another one is one that happened only a day or so ago, where two Muslims were they were threatening to bring down a plane, and they got taken to court over it. Now, I haven't got the full link in front of me, so I'm doing this from memory, but somebody, I'm sure, in the chat room will find the link and post it while we're talking. But these Muslims successfully, they got off, basically. The judgment was that they weren't terrorists, even though they were making threats to blow up a plane while they were on a plane, while it was in the air. And the plane had to... It was coming
I don't think the Americans would have been so lenient.
Manchester got diverted to Stansted, I think. And anyway, got off by... the comments were that they weren't terrorists, they were just a couple of idiots. Well, excuse me, but you don't get on a plane and you start making threats like that and cause a... I think they had two RAF jets scrambled to escort this plane to Stansted.
I remember this, Tim.
Our tax dollars at work.
Yeah, well, quite. You don't do that sort of thing on a plane and then get off with a slap on the wrist. Unless you are totally... completely and utterly insane and can be demonstrated to be insane. Now, I'm not using the argument here that anybody who is a Muslim is ipso facto insane, although that is actually a perfectly good argument.
Anybody read that book, they become...
Poppy has come up with
scrambles their brains, doesn't it?
Look at it. Yeah, I mean, that's the point, is that they got off for doing something that's extremely... anybody else who'd done that sort of thing, they'd probably have got 5-10 years in prison for court causing alarm, harassment and distress on a plane, in the air. You just cannot do that. And that's what I mean by perverse judgment. So even though judges in this country are appointed, I don't think you can necessarily conclude that they are always going to be fair and unbiased and return verdicts which are common sense verdicts.
Very good value point. Let's just hope and pray, Tim, that we have got... A judge.
I'm just looking at the article that Poppy posted, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at these two, and pardon my French, but look at the shit-eating grins on their faces. And I'm also looking at them, and they've got the beards going there. These are obviously Salafi influenced Muslims. This is just unbelievable.
I just located the story about the girls. They are Somali Muslims. They were intoxicated.
That's right.
And there's video of it, and it's clearly a hate crime.
Yes,
the judge, it was on High Street in Leicester, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And these three these three intoxicated Muslima bitches from hell, and that's what they are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to mince words here. They got off because the judge felt that he probably wanted to cut them some slack, being that they were Muslims. So we have this in the United States, too. It's not maybe as bad, but we have these black-robed activist judges, these leftist scum that sit on the bench on their little throne, and if they see fit, they'll take some savage mutant-type criminal, especially if they are Muslim, and, you know, they'll give them a little slap on the wrist and send them on their way. But, of course, if the tables were turned and it was the Muslim who was the victim, which they are victims, although they claim to be victims all the time, then the punishment would be severe. But, you know, I think someone in – I know someone in America, and I think in the U.K., they threw a pig's head into a mosque.
That was going to be my next point, but you beat me to it.
Well, that's okay.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, there was actually an interesting story in the United States in the Northeast where a man was intoxicated and he went into a mosque on Friday. He picked the right day, you know, which is their big day, Friday, and he relieved himself by urinating on their prayer carpets. Of course, they were very disturbed, and he uttered some unfavorable words about Muhammad. Anyway, he was arrested, and he was I don't know his sentence, but the judge wasn't too happy with him.
Yeah.
But we all know that political correctness has infected Western culture, and it's, of course, come into the courthouse, come into the courtroom. And, you know, we had that scumbag, and he's still breathing, Major Malik Nidal Hassan, who
Hood.
Yeah, he killed 13 people, plus there was an unborn child, so I will say he killed 14 human beings. It took 4 years to even put him on trial, and then there was a whole issue whether he should be shaved or shouldn't be shaved, and, you know, there's a regulation in the United States Army, you can't wear a beard. So one judge said we can strap him in a chair and shave him forcibly, then another judge overturned it. Anyway, finally he was convicted, but the chance of him being executed anytime soon, I won't hold my breath.
Well, no, I think the last I heard of it was there was talk of, and I don't know how much there is behind this, but there was talk of Obama giving him a pardon from the death sentence. Now, that might or might not just be speculation, so it just wouldn't surprise me. But the broader point is that there is certainly a two-tier system when it comes to justice in the Western world for Muslims and for non-Muslims. And you mentioned the pig's head guy in the States. We had another one just recently over here where a guy actually phoned up the imam in the mosque, and he said, you better get everybody out of there quick because I've left a pig's head in the mosque. Now, he hadn't actually left a pig's head in the mosque. He just said he had, okay?
Yeah.
And, of course, this caused a big panic, and everybody had to be evacuated because, obviously, pig's heads in mosques, you know, they can do untold damage even if they're not really there. So,
you mean a dead pig now? We're just talking about the severed head of a pig could actually damage a mosque.
Yeah, I mean, he just phoned up and said, that is what he had done. In actual fact, he hadn't done it. But he was caught, I think he was caught and convicted partly in due to taped phone evidence. There was some forensic, they got a forensic guy in the police force to check his voice out in the police interview and match it against the phone call that he'd made, and he got convicted for it. And I haven't got his sentence right in front of me, but it was substantial. It was a substantial sentence.
Well, that's a major crime. I mean, that's comparable to a murderous terrorist attack on infidels.
Is
just insinuating that there might be a dead pig's head in a mosque.
Yeah, yeah.
Justification.
That's terrible.
Well,
I've actually several times on my Twitter timeline that there's a good case to be made for making being criminal while Muslim an offence which is an aggravating circumstance rather than the mitigating circumstance which it is at the moment. And I think if we ever get sanity returned to our political and legal systems, that would certainly be one of the things I would be pushing for, to make it criminal while Muslim being an aggravating circumstance, so that if anybody commits an offence while they're Muslim, they get three times the sentence that they would do if they were non-Muslim. Chances of it happening today, absolutely nil, but, you know, 18 is a long
so
time.
What's the most severe penalty under British law that those two subhuman, they're not human, we will call the two men that slaughtered Lee Rigby subhumans, what would be the most extreme punishment that they can receive?
Life imprisonment. There is no death
penalty. Like yours, there's no death penalty
enough.
In England.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
I was just wondering if Jeff wants to take a little bit of a break so that he can refresh his phone call, because we're near the bottom of the hour. Jeff,
yes,
if you want to do
yes,
that.
Yes, please, Carol. I need to have a little drink anyway. I've got that little tickle once again. So, yes, please. It's been very interesting up so far what we've been discussing, and we have been concentrating on the horrific crime what happened to Lee Rigby on a Woolwich Street in London, and and we've gone into quite a few details, and of course we do know it's what we've been discussing, like a two-tier system which is still at work, and I hope in this case, this doesn't portray itself. I hope that judgment is seen to be done without fear of political correctness or whatever, because it's right that justice is seen to be done where this with circumstances. And I think most listeners and our chat room, our panelists would agree that they need to. They need life imprisonment without parole. They need to know that they're never, ever going to get out of prison again, sort of thing. So with that, I'm going to pass it to Kel, and be going for a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. And after the little break, we'll come back, and maybe we can continue, or maybe there's some other topics that we might be discussing after the short break. So with that, over to you, Kel.
You've got it, Jeff.
Thank you.
We'll see you back here in a few minutes.
I hear again by a human factory bomb. How they have it out, putting somebody home. On a catwalk jungle, somebody grabs home. A voice spoke to gold is mad, weapon in a palm. We can take you to the red. Let it be.
Welcome back, everybody, and just to remind you, you're listening to the East Anglian EDL Radio Show with your host, Jeff Mitchell, who is refreshing his call right now, and we are discussing the murder trial of drummer Lee Rigby. And before I bring the gentleman back on, the panel back on, I just want to explain to you that some of the material is rather disturbing that we will be discussing, so I just wanted to warn you of that. If you have children in the room and you're listening in archive later on, you just want to be apprised of that. Anyway, the boss is back, and here we go, and here comes the rest of the panel.
Thank you very much, Kel. Yeah, it's just it's funny to phone back in on the on the guest side of things, but I know the number off by heart, so it's so easy to call back in.
So, and the number is 858-777-5934.
It rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? It certainly does. Yeah, I was going to say, guys, that's something that we haven't said. If you want to call in, you know, some of the serious things that we've been discussing tonight, please call in. This is your platform, and we welcome all calls. So if there's something you want to discuss, the number to, if you're a Blog Talk Radio user and you're a Skype, you're hooked up to Skype, if you left click on the Skype button, you follow the prompts, and when they say, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to just listen, you'll press 1 on your device. But if you're not and you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. I repeat, 001-858-777-5934. So there you go. So we'll open the lines up now. We normally like to have about an hour, and then we normally open the lines up, don't we, Kel? So it always makes it interesting. Last hour of the show. So with that, we was discussing what's been going on the last 2 days with the trial at the Old Bailey. It is, isn't it? Of course it is. Over the next few weeks, however long the case takes, we're going to hear probably other things that comes out that we wasn't privy to before. That's always the case, isn't it, when, you know, there's these horrific things.
Well, just getting back to what Tim was saying, Jeff, earlier about, why is this why will there be a 3-week window, a speculation that they're looking at? And what Tim said, I loved it, Tim, what you said, when you said that perhaps because maybe Islam will also be on trial. I hope and pray it is. I hope that this case is making front page news in Canada.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think if it got to the point where they did discuss the relevance of what he was saying on camera after he stood there with his bloodied hands and his machete in his hand and he was justifying what he did, if that were fairly and truthfully and completely analyzed in depth, using all the arguments that we do when we are trying to make sense of the cult that is Islam, the political ideology that is Islam. I think if that were to happen, I think it would be a very good use of taxpayers' money. I just feel that there will be moves behind the scenes for that not to take place. And I really wouldn't want to say any more than that. I just want to see how things unfold.
Well, I think it should be transparent, because otherwise all it does is it causes a lot of people a lot of anger. And the best way to do this case is to be transparent about everything. Whatever happened on that day, they should be transparent. And it doesn't matter. Yes, Islam, ladies and gentlemen, Islam is under the spotlight, and it has been for a long time. It's just now, when you hear cases so horrific, what poor Lee Rigby, the way he met his death, in the most brutal way that you possibly could meet your death. It's only right that the case is told transparently, without any, we don't want to offend Islam. Well, bugger Islam. You know, if it wants to be put on the spotlight with its deeds, then so it should be. And I think most of our listeners would agree with that.
May I say something important, please?
Yes, Michael, please do.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, thanks. I made reference before the break about what I understood would probably be the case in regard to putting forth this garbage, you know, this abominable type rationale or justification for the act of these murderous Islamic scum. And sure enough, I was right. I just found a story from The Guardian. Of course, The Guardian is very leftist, but it was published on Friday, the 29th, today. This year, 2013, man claimed attack was retaliation for deaths of Muslims. So the leftist media, the scumbags in the leftist media, are going to promulgate this garbage.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's going to be used in the courtroom. I have no doubt. And they'll keep Islam out of the picture, of course, and the Quran. And they'll just make it seem as if these two these two subhuman Islamic scum felt they had to
whitewash it, basically, to try to sugarcoat it.
The only reason we killed the man, here's a quote, the only reason we killed this man today is because Muslims are dying daily by British soldiers. And there's not a word in the body of this entire article about, of course, the truth, why they did it. So, I'm sorry to say
this. I highlight that this Michael Abajalo actually said, we was commanded to do what we did in the Quran. He said that. So it's quite obvious that they take in what it says in the Quran, and that's exactly what they would do. They was commanded to do it, and that's exactly what we saw on the streets of London that day. No two ways about it. No matter what David Cameron or Boris Johnson or any other libturd out there, that is the case. That is
absolutely
it. Islam is under the spotlight, ladies and gentlemen. That's the thing. It is. And we will continue to put Islam under the spotlight. Why should it hide under the prestigious thing of being a religion so that it can get away with certain things? It's wrong. It is. We don't want to call it a religion because we know that it is. It's trying to be a religion masquerading as religion, as an ideology. I mean, we've always said this, haven't we? Tim said it. I've said other to Tommy Robinson said it. So many people. We know that is the case. But as I say, because of what's happened now, that the Muslims should really start feeling that, they can't go to give everybody, Islam is a religion of peace, because everybody knows that's not the case. Everybody knows now. So you can't hide under that that guard any longer, because you're out in the open. Yeah.
I was just looking after what Michael said. I brought up a page from The Guardian on my screen, and I found it quite interesting that the potential jurors were handed a list of questions, and they were told that this before the case started, they were told that they may be excluded from the case if they answered yes to any of these questions. Now, before I go on, have you discussed this at all earlier this evening? Because I just think it's of interest, okay? The questions were, firstly, have you or any person with whom you have regular and close personal contact been in the vicinity of a terrorist incident? Okay, that's a fair enough question to ask. The next question is, have you or any person with whom you have regular and close personal contact been employed in the armed forces, police force, prison service, security services, or Crown Prosecution Service? Okay, for a juror, I suppose that's a reasonably fair question to ask, because if they knew people in those professions, they might be biased. The third question really sort of makes me think a bit, and I'll read it fairly slowly and clearly so people can appreciate it. And the question is this. The jurors were asked, is there any reason arising from beliefs, past or present occupation, or any other matter that you feel may inhibit the essential requirement to return impartial verdicts according to the evidence in this trial? In particular, do you or any member of your family or a relative or a close friend hold political or religious views of such strength that they might materially influence your consideration of the case? Now, I think that that seems to me to be going a little bit too far in terms of disqualifying people on a jury, because most people have got opinions about most things, and I think to try and find somebody who could honestly answer no to that particular question, you'd probably have to exclude 99.9% of the British public. Now, I don't know what the rest of the panel feel about that.
I feel that they're looking for like a load of lefties
who chose those questions, Tim? Sorry to cut you off, Jeff. Who chose those?
No, go ahead.
I'm
curious who formulated those questions. Was that the judge?
I imagine that I'm just
scrolling
up the article.
Prosecution.
It's actually the judge that put those questions.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, another leftist judge, of course.
Justice Sweeney, and he is the one that put those questions to the jurors. Now, unless the jurors have been living in a cave for the past 12 years, I don't see how they could answer no to that third question that I just outlined. If you want, I'm going to just put a copy of the article in the chat room so that if anybody wants to just read through it themselves, and come to their own decision on that, that's fine. But I'm looking at that third question, and it seems to me that nobody could honestly say that they haven't got some preconceived opinions about that event and the circumstances surrounding that event that they could set aside when they're training these two guys. Well,
I'm surprised they've got a jury after that, then, Tim. I'm surprised they've got a jury.
You know what's going to happen here? Let me just say this, okay? In America, when we had that Boston Marathon bombing and those two Muslim scumbags, one was fortunately killed by the police. He's dead. His soul's rotting in hell. That's right. He didn't go to Ghana, Muslims, if you're listening. He's not in paradise. He's burning in hell. Now, the other shithead, excuse me, you know, I don't like to use that kind of language, but you know what? When you see these people go around and they just want to slaughter infidels, whether it's a little baby, you know, an 8 or 9 year old girl, an elderly woman, an elderly man. These people, they're the lowest scum of the earth. Anyway, my point is the left-wing media in America tried to make the one that survived as out to be some type of rock star, and they
They put his picture on Time magazine, didn't they? On the
Rolling Stone, which is a left-wing
rag
anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Rolling Stone,
the younger one, and they made him look like Jim Morrison from The Doors. It was
absolutely
disgusting.
So what I see a correlation here, because we have leftist scum in America, we have leftist scum in the UK, and evidently they have the same mentality, the same type of thinking. So instead of trying to shine a big spotlight on the truth, and that's Islam and its wonderful peaceful teachings and how peaceful its followers are, they will take it and twist it, and they'll come up with some kind of rationalization or justification that the perpetrator of these brutal, depraved acts of violence have some type of legitimate reason to do what they did, even though they perpetrated a crime. They can't say they're not criminals. So the thing is, with The Guardian, the headline of the article says, man claimed attack was retaliation for death of Muslims. Now, people who are stupid and ignorant, and people who obviously are on the left, immediately they're gonna play into that. And the left wing happens here in America. They want to develop an aspect of sympathy for the criminal.
Isn't it just astounding, Michael? It's crazy. I mean, to see the carnage, what those two caranimals, what they did. We'll never forget that, will we, Michael? You know that when people were sort of doing that marathon there, and all of a sudden these explosions. It was somewhat silence, and then you heard the scream. I don't think any of us are going to forget what they did. And for people to make them out, especially the younger one, to make them out of some sort of rock star, it proves how warped and sick some of these people's minds really are. I wouldn't give him any credibility whatsoever. There's a scum of the earth who would do that to innocent people.
Little children were killed in that terrorist attack, and one 8-year-old boy died, and his 6-year-old sister lost a leg. Can you imagine losing a limb at such a young age? So it's just devastating.
Go ahead, Michael.
Just a correlation, because the left wing media in England. And I kind of predicted it earlier. I'm not patting myself on the back, but, lo and behold, I find an article and it corroborates exactly what I said. I hate to say it, but I think some ugly things are going to come out of this trial, and things that are going to be infuriating. I think you can count on the leftist media in the UK to once again try to make some type of sympathy type situation for these scumbags. And who knows what will actually happen in the courtroom. These are the times we live in. That's why the EDL exists and other organizations.
You're right, Michael. That is, there comes a time, as I say, going back a few years ago now, when, as you know, when the English Defence League was formed, it was due to our soldiers returning home and being abused by these caranimals. That was just one step too far. The people, the British public, have been putting up with all this crap, political crapness, for time, many, many years. And there come a time, and I think Tim would agree, there come a time where people said, enough is enough. You will not do that to our brothers and our sisters and our sons who's coming back, who's been serving their country so well. Basically, that was, as you say, that was the turning point of this country, where people said, you're not going to continue with this. We're not going to put up with it. And as you said, that was really like the birth of the EDL, I would say, when they actually burnt the poppies, when Tommy Robinson, we call it the leap of faith, when he leaped, when he said to a police officer, he said, what are you going to do about these people there? He said, well, they've got a right to do it. He said, what's wrong? And he done no more. He's just run and he jumped over the barrier, and it went global. We all know that was a leap, and that was basically, I would say, the time when the English Defence League was born, was that time when Tommy Robinson leaped the barrier and whipped that black flag out of that caranimal's hand and was wrestled to the ground, was wrestled to the ground. And don't forget, they tried to say that Tommy Robinson assaulted a policeman, and there was loads of video evidence to show it was the other way around, and it was Tommy that was being assaulted, it was being attacked. And it's just a very good point you brought. As I say, the English defence, we're here now, and these stories will never go away, because we will never, ever let them go away. And, you know, and Lee Rigby will never be forgot. What happened to that young man, we'll never forget it, even though you find that the media, they try to find other stories and they go away from it. They might highlight it, especially to the cases being heard now, but just not here. The whole of the world is awake to what happened that day. As you say, headline news in Canada, Kel, isn't it? And probably headline news in some parts of America, Michael.
Well, it is. Yeah, I'm looking at the ABC News website from an article from the AP. Now, I don't know if anyone on the program today knows this, but do you know one of these scumbags was permitted to have a Koran? He was seen clutching a Koran in his hand while he was in the dock. You know, I can't comment on that because I don't want to use certain types of language, but that just really infuriates me.
Yeah.
That's just
infuriating. Yeah, I think it does us all. But if they say they've got a right to carry their Koran, religious. What's the word I'm thinking of, Tim?
Well, I mean, this goes back to what I was saying yesterday, because what we should be doing is pushing for the reclassification of Islam to a political ideology rather than a religion, and then we won't have any of these ridiculous situations where people are saying, I have to carry this book because my religion tells me I have to. Well, no, you don't. And if we were to say it's first and foremost a totalitarian political ideology, a lot of these stupid little things that we see would disappear. You know, it's like saying, I need to carry this instruction manual because it's part of my ideology. And, well, it is an instruction manual.
I've got to just make a comment. I just want to just interject. Lady Michelle is saying at this moment, you mean their book of hate. Very good point there, Lady Michelle. And when you do look at it, and it does read, and it is, I've said it often, Army knows, because when I used to be on another program, I always used to talk about if you look at the Quran, if you look at the Hadiths and things like that, you think of it, it's like a terrorist handbook. It reads like that. You know, different aspects of it, it really does read like that. But very good point there, Lady Michelle. So, yeah, carry
well,
on,
was
Tim.
It Germany? Was it Germany that was trying to, or is trying to, classify the Quran as hate literature, or at least be subject to? I don't know.
I don't think Germany is trying to do it unless, well, okay, if it is Germany, I hadn't heard that story. We've obviously the stories coming out of Russia where they're
it was Russia. You know what? My apologies.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. Yes, I was referring to Russia.
I knew that, actually, I think the Russians are reading the whole situation with Islam the right way. And
well,
they're
on the right track.
Yes, they definitely are. They warned the Americans, didn't they, Michael? You know, they warned them about these people.
Absolutely. The Russian intelligence service warned the FBI to keep an eye on these two scoundrels, especially the one, the older one, who's dead and his soul is roasting in hell. He went to Dagestan and he hooked up with a group of Islamic terrorist scum there. And you know, the media, of course, downplayed the connection, but there's some good news supposedly coming out of Angola, but I'm not sure if it's true or false, but it seems the government of Angola is not too fond of Mohammed's teachings, and they're kind of cracking down on Islam.
Yeah, that, now that's another interesting development, because the first thing that I heard about this was last week, and it sounded as though Angola were banning Islam and starting on the demolition of mosques. Then we had a contradiction from Washington, and he said, well, okay, you've got to take whatever comes out of Washington these days with a pinch of salt. But nevertheless,
big
it was
time.
A contradiction. But no, the last thing I heard, which was earlier today, was that Angola has indeed taken these steps and is not only going to ban Islam. They're talking about Islam as one of a number of ideologies which is going to be banned, and it's not the only one, but obviously it's the major one. And
yes.
The story about starting on the destruction of mosques and not permitting any more to be built is apparently true, and that was
well good on them.
Several
if only the rest of the world had the same hindsight, and you know, no matter what people said, it's your country. You don't, you know what's going on. You know what Islam's all about. You know that they try to do, and if you can do that, and they've done a firm, you know, they said, right, we're going to do this, and start demolishing the mosques and that, and outlawing it. My goodness me, how many times have I said, Carol, how many times have I said about Islam being banned, outlawed, you know, time after time?
Well, yeah, well, that's the whole goal of all the counter-jihad, is just to see Islam banned as a religion and see it recognized as a political entity. And I'm just looking at an article here in what Tim is relating about Angola in the latest update. And, yeah, like Tim, I despise The Guardian. And but they do have an article in here, and Angola at this point has been accused of banning Islam after shutting down most of the country's mosques amid reports of violence and intimidation against women who wear the veil. And of course, there's a photo here, and these are Palestinians burning the Angola flag in protest. So I don't know, something is cooking there.
I think it's only fair to say that they're bound to have a backlash because of what they're doing, because they are the first country in, well, certainly in recent years, to have taken that step to ban Islam outright. So, of course, Muslims are being used to getting things all their own way, and to get the door slammed in their face in such a fashion, that's bound to upset them. So there is bound to be a backlash. But what I would hope is that having done that is sometimes that's all you need, really, to start domino effect. Now, I don't know how a domino effect might develop if your starting point is Angola, but maybe we will see a little common sense breaking out in other countries as well.
Well, you can add to the list, you can add China. The Chinese, their communist government, which is not the best thing in the world, but the People's Republic of China, their government, they kill them. I mean, you know, they shoot them and
they
that's when they become violent. Let me be clear. I'm not advocating violent acts first.
No, I'm not.
But self-defense always, though. We will use our lawful weapons in the U.S. lawfully, thank you, if we're attacked. But they have problems with the Uyghurs. I don't know who they are. Maybe Tim can elaborate on this. But there is kind of a violent Muslim Islamist movement in China, yes?
Yeah, they're a cultural group who are predominantly, if not completely, Muslim. They're concentrated in a particular area in China, and they cause problems, of course, in the same way that Muslims do in every country when they feel that they're being unjustly treated. That is to say, not treated with the reverence that they think they deserve because they're Muslims. So, it would be nice if China were to take an even harder line than they're doing now. But certainly, they're not going soft on Muslims, and were China and Russia them. Oh, one other thing.
Sorry, I'm just reading the chat room, and I want to get this in. The chat room is just jumping, Jeff. Everybody's talking
no
away.
Problem.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
And before the feed, runs away, I just want to relate what Holger Awaken said. He says, I think 75% of Western aid to the so-called Palestinians goes for lighter fluid to burn flags. I just wanted to share that.
That's probably
true.
Grain of truth in that. What I was going to add, you were saying, Kel, about in Russia they're trying to get the Quran outlawed as a book of hate. I'm not sure how far they've got with that, but it's interesting to relate that I think it'll be about quite a few years ago now, maybe almost 100 years ago, believe it or not. In India, they tried to have the Quran designated as a book of hate in exactly the same way, or a very similar
mm-hmm.
way. And a petition was actually brought in India. It was called the Calcutta Quran Petition. If anybody wants to Google it and find that story, you can find it. It's archived everywhere on the internet. The Calcutta Quran Petition, and it was a group of people in India who recognised that Islam was causing a disproportionate amount of problems in Indian society, and they brought a petition to have the Quran outlawed. Unfortunately, they ran up against what we would term today to be another dhimmi judge, and he actually got the case thrown out, so it didn't get any further. But it's quite interesting to look at the articles relating to the petition itself and the grounds on which the petition was brought, because you can see, when you read through, you can see it's worded in terms which we would have no trouble understanding today, where, of course, at the time, I'm sure Muslims were doing exactly the same as they are now. They're saying Islam was a benign religion of peace and tolerance, and people in India were saying, well, no, hang on a second, let's just look at this. Islam is responsible for about, I don't know, is it 80 million Hindus? Being killed over 1,400 years, something of your magnitude. Maybe
in fact,
we should
like 275 million people have died under the hands of Islamic scourge, as Kel would say. I like that word, Kel. Thank you for the word scourge.
But I mean, that's my
point.
And
that's the only thing about Islam that I would spell with caps, the scourge, capital T, capital S. Anything else is lowercase. I refuse now. And this is courtesy of Mike Holt of Restore Australia and that I do this. And a lot of people will notice when I do my blog in particular that I will not cap Islam, Sharia, Muslims, and I spell Muslims with the M-O-S-L-E-M, with the lower M. I refuse to give them that sort of deference any longer.
Good point, Echo.
I just wanted to apprise the listeners, you know, in case they think that what we talk about is somehow new and radical, it's not really. It has been thought of before. The difference is now we've got a lot of public opinion is now coming behind movements like the EDL and the other counter-jihadist movements throughout the Western world, and I think we stand a better chance than we ever have done in the past 100 years of getting some legislation passed which is going to decisively work on our side against the Islamic ideology and the texts like the Quran that inspire killings like Lee Rigby's. Now, I really hope this gets discussed in open court during the trial of Lee Rigby, but even if it doesn't, it's something that we all ought to try and keep alive at every possible opportunity.
I agree, and that's what I was saying to him. We talk about Lee Rigby, and we will always continue to talk about what happened to Lee Rigby because it was so horrific. That day will stay in the most of our minds. It was like 7/7, it was like 9/11. Those memories you will never forget, and that is why it's so important to keep these horrific things, what happens because of Islam trying to induce it or invoke itself on the rest of the humanity. This is what happens, and it's only right that we expand and we talk about these issues week in, week out. As I say, because it's only right. But what happened was such a horrific thing that we should never let it just go away, because it's never going to go away. And Lee Rigby will live on in our hearts and our minds forever. And we will continue to speak about Islam and the way that we see things, the way it treats people.
Yeah, I agree entirely, Jeff. And I think that the best possible memorial and tribute to Lee Rigby's memory would be if it meant that we could get the ideology of Islam out in the open, discussed in public by everybody in the country without fear or of being classified as politically correct or racist or bigoted or Islamophobic.
Yeah. We've still got scared people out there, though. See, we've got to address this issue. There's still people who are scared to speak out against this.
Well,
we know, we know it's the right thing to do, and we've got to do it. But there are some people out there who are scared of the implications, and all we're trying to say is don't be scared. You know, the EDL's here, and we're your shield as well. So if you want to get involved with what we're doing in essays or anything like that, please do. Don't be afraid, because we are a big organisation. We are a global organisation.
Sometimes it takes a little acorn, shall we say. I mean, this trial, right now where we are, it seems like a huge, huge thing. But in years to come, what I would hope is that it's people look back on it and they see it as the start of a real, honest and open discussion about the ideology of Islam, the effect of the Quran on the Muslim mindset, and how it commands the hatred, the anti-Semitism, all the things that Muslims look at when they read the Quran and turn into actions which translate against murder, which translate to murder, mayhem, bombing, shooting, killing in the most barbaric manner. If all of that is highlighted by this trial, then I think Lee Rigby won't have died for nothing, is all I'm saying. Right now, that might be a contentious thing to say, okay, but that's what
good point. No, you've made a good, valid point there, Tim. I was going to say, I'm going to just read something out what Holger's put in the chat room as well, and he says, from today, however, we firmly believe Israel must be wiped off the face of the earth, and we don't recognise its existence. Khatami said, according to IRNA. So it's something that's just caught my attention there. So thank you, Walter, for what was said today. So, it's only things like that just catch my mind, you know, because even the premise of what's going on, and maybe there could be some sort of peace in the Middle East, is still these people out there still wants their death and destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the case, and it will always be the case. There will always be the hatred. It doesn't matter where Israel dwells, whatever part of the world it dwells, they will always be a hated people within Muslims and the Islamic faith. It will always be that case, the anti-Semitism that we see. Sorry, I was going a little bit because I just... You know,
no,
I drift away a little bit because...
I certainly think that everything that we've talked about concerning the Lee Rigby trial, I mean, we've brought out a lot of valid points in that today. But moving on to that topic, you're absolutely right. I mean, Israel is on the front line against the global jihad, and there is no point in the peace process that the Western powers are placing so much hope on. At the end of the day, the Muslims do not want peace. What they want is to see Israel annihilated, and nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. The peace process is really, it's just a dead duck. Israel could give away land bit by bit and make concessions bit by bit. It'll make no difference. The Muslims will never stop until either they are totally crushed so that they're incapable of causing harm to anybody outside their land, or until they have succeeded in their goal. And it's up to us to make sure they don't succeed in their goal, because if they do, and they do manage to cross Israel, there won't be any peace. They will just be emboldened. And we, in Europe, in England, and across the Western world, will then be the ones on the front line. And to think that we're going to make it all go away by throwing Israel to them is quite wrong.
I agree. Kel, she didn't think I was going to... she didn't think I was looking at the chat room. Tell Jeff I've gone to feed the pets, Kel said. Poppy said she probably won't even know you've gone. Yes, I will, Poppy.
Okay. Well, I don't know how much more time you want to devote to that topic, Jeff. There was something else.
Very interesting.
Well, yes, it is, and we could discuss it for the rest of the evening if you like. There was something else I was hoping to discuss tonight, but of course I was slightly late coming onto the show. So
no, that's okay, Tim.
Okay.
That's
well,
okay.
It was to do with the bill that's currently being discussed by the House of Lords, which is the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Bill. And if I might, I'd like to say a couple of words about that, if that's all right with everybody.
I think that's okay. As I say, we've got a quarter of an hour of the show left, and I think it's only right. I think it's a very, we discussed it myself and Tim, and I think it's only
an important aspect of our civil
liberties.
Yes, I'll make an opening statement and I'll try and be brief. This particular bill, which is being discussed in the House of Lords, seeks to suppress public meetings in the name of antisocial behaviour and keeping people under control. On the face of it, if it reduces a certain amount of criminality in public, you might think, well, that's all to be welcomed. But of course, the way the bill is currently worded means that they could, if the law is passed, that the authorities could suppress perfectly peaceful street demonstrations, such as the ones that the EDL might want to bring about on the streets. Protests which might be perfectly peaceful, they could be banned under this legislation. Now, if anybody says, oh, no, it's only just for these yobs that go around breaking antisocial behaviour orders, I would like to say to you, we were discussing this with Mike Holt on the radio show, I think it was the Red Fox show a few weeks ago. Mike Holt made the point that a similar law had been brought into effect in Australia. I think it was in the state of Queensland. And it was for the same sort of reason. They've got a problem with biker gangs over in Australia and in Queensland in particular. And the law was brought in order to control the activities of the biker gang, but they were just causing quite a lot of social problems. Well, okay, that's fine. But what they found was when the law was passed was the police were actually using this law to break up peaceful music festivals, which weren't really a threat to anybody, just that the police thought that it was something they wanted to disperse the people involved, and they invoked this law. So I'm bringing it up now because I think we have to keep an eye on some of the developments, even if they're not specifically related to Islam, they are things that affect our free speech. And at the end of the day, if our free speech is taken away, that's a major, major tool, which in fact probably the only real tool we have with which we can fight the scourge of Islam.
Yeah.
So anything that threatens our freedom of speech, I think, needs to be brought up. Even if we don't go in depth on a show like this, I think it's worth bringing to people's attention and to at least so they're aware of it. They should really bring it into their radar and think about it so that they can discuss it when they're out and about with their friends or colleagues or in any situation where they might be in a position to influence other people, because it's another thing that really does not want to be forgotten about or allowed to slip into law because we haven't been aware of it. I've just posted the link to the article, which in fact Poppy posted it yesterday, but I'm just reposting it.
Yeah, thank you, Sue.
It's a link to the BBC article on that. And that's really all I wanted to say about that, is that we need to take great care of anything that might restrict our freedom of speech.
Yes.
Even if
it'd be very sinister aspects,
yeah,
couldn't it?
Even if it's being drafted for apparently good reasons, or what the media would have us believe are good reasons. Okay, and that's really all I wanted to say about that. But I did want to get it onto the show today.
Yeah,
I've got a breaking story from
Afghanistan.
Michael. Yeah, we don't get good news from Afghanistan these days, but there's a breaking story here, and I'd like to share it with all of you
exactly,
and all the listeners.
I know exactly what you're going to say, Michael, but go on.
Well, this is great news. We have seven Taliban, Islamic scum, were in a mosque, and they were playing with their toys, building IEDs or some type of bombs, and prematurely the IED seemed to have detonated, and they've all been blown to smithereens. And the good news is that the mosque is pretty well damaged too. So now, Tim, you're the authority on this. Now, I want to understand clearly, if you are a practicing jihadi and
yes.
you don't kill an infidel in the process and you blow yourself up, what happens?
Well, arguably, you shouldn't be looking out for your 72 virgins, because it's only if you you die while you're actively in the process of killing infidels that you get the full 72 virgins. I imagine that if you die under those circumstances, you get to paradise, and what they probably do is they give you one 72-year-old virgin just to make up.
One 72-year-old virgin?
Is it? I mean, but I'm not an authority. We need
you guys are incorrigible.
Well, maybe we can find an authority on Islamic law. We can find an Islamic scholar, because I'm very curious to know, could Allah reject these seven Taliban? Could they actually get up to paradise and Allah say, bad Taliban, you know, you messed up, you blew yourselves up, you didn't kill any infidels, and now I'm going to have to send you to hell. What do you think?
If you don't mind, if I just interject. We've got to, when we talk about going to paradise, don't forget what it says in the Quran. It actually says, and I've said it many, many times, and this is proves how hypocritical Islam is, in a part of it says that no Muslim will pass over the over the hell fires. So, you know, whether it's getting to Jannah, whatever, it's also saying that no Muslim will pass over hell, and only the pious ones will be picked from hell. So, it's hypocritical, basically, the whole thing, aspect of Islam and everything about it, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, this is one of the reasons that I always make the distinction between the political side of Islam and the religious side of Islam, because at the end of the day, I think Muslims should be perfectly free to believe whatever they want. If they want to believe the moon was made of cheese, or if the moon was cut in half by somebody who lived 1,400 years ago, or if they believe that when they die they're going to go to paradise for their deeds, that as a personal belief, I don't think that we should have anything to do with it. And if they want to believe that they go to heaven for certain things they've done or they haven't done, that's up to them. But if their beliefs impinge on the rest of us in any way, that's what turns it from a religious belief into a political belief. That is the dividing line.
Yes.
If their beliefs impinge on us.
Tim, we've got to to wrap it up, I know Carol just wanted to do a quick roll call. So I'd like to thank you once again, Tim, for rushing in, because I know you was out and about.
Well, I pretty much said all I wanted to say on that.
Fantastic.
Well, means turn it over to Carol.
Yeah, also Michael. Once again, Michael, it's always a great honour and privilege to have you on the show. You bring so much to the show with your thoughts about things. And of course, Carol, who stood in tonight for me. My goodness me! Once again, I had one of my problems of calling in, and I'm still. With the studio itself, it's still lightless, Kel. I ain't got no lights in my studio. It's dark.
Oh, people don't like the idea that you're just doing a quickie.
Anyway, with that, I'm going to
thank
you, Michael.
I'll write her up.
but thank you so much for being a part of the panel tonight. It's been, well, what can I say? It's always a fascinating night. I hope all of our listeners have enjoyed what we've spoke about. Okay, there's been some things that we've been talking about that's been a little bit distressing. We've been talking about Lee Rigby. It's only right that we do highlight exactly what's going on, because it is the court case is being heard now. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kel. She's going to do a quick roll call. It's going to be quick now, because we're really down to the bar, aren't we now, Kel?
We are down to less than 6 minutes. But, of course, Jeff and myself, we really want to thank you all for being here. We also want to thank everybody who listens in archive, but we also want to acknowledge those who go out of their busy day to listen to Jeff and myself. And, of course, that's Jeff, and I'm Kel Fritzy. I want to thank Anthony Ford for being here. I want to thank Army of British News for being here. This is not the Red Fox, Kel. Watch it. We want to thank COG and, of course, Cat Strangler. Meow!
Meow!
We want to thank Holly Goss.
He managed to get through that flat tonight, Kel.
Yeah.
We got to stop feeding him all that cream. But we want to thank Colin Dodds and Dodgy Dave and Echo. We have numerous guests in the chat room, so thank you very much, guests, for joining us as well. Please grab an identity and join us in the chat room and join the conversation. We want to thank Holger Awakens. And I am pleased to say that Holger is going to be on the air tomorrow night at 10 p.m. right here on Block Talk Radio. So please join us in Holger's chat room tomorrow night.
Top show. Brilliant. Absolutely awesome. And of course, Holger's got a great blog as well, isn't he, Kel?
Oh, absolutely he does. Lady Michelle, I owe you an apology. I forgot to tell you. It's time to feed the pets. Mary A. Kaffer is here. Mary just stepped in, and Mary is my partner in crime over at the Kenneth McClintock Show. So it is McClinton Show. So it's
Thanks
great
for
to
being
see
here,
Mary.
God bless you.
Want to see Paul Alexander. And Paul, thank you for my fox. And, of course, we have to thank our Poppy, who lives across the street from me, which is very sad for me because I cannot have tea in her kitchen. And, Poppy, thank you for all the links that you've been sending. They are just absolutely fantastic. Rockstar is here, and that is Allison.
Absolutely.
And I love Allison. She is the lady behind the scenes of Unforgotten Heroes, one of the causes that I endorse on the Red Fox Blogger. I want to thank Stealth for being here as well. It's been great. And, of course, we want to thank everybody on the panel, and that is Jeff, myself, Tim, and Michael, and especially last but never least, we want to thank Sue from New Mexico for being there as well.
Yeah.
I just better make sure I got everybody.
Well, if we got Stealth, Kel.
I did get Stealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank
And there you go, Jeff.
Guys. I've got to thank everybody for being here tonight. Once again, it's been a very interesting night. Some very important discussions that we've had this evening, and we'll be back again this Sunday with more of what we've
been discussing tonight, and maybe some other topics as well. So I'd like to thank you all, and all our great listening audience out there. As we always say, if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you for your continued support for the show, the East Anglian's EDL Radio Show. So thank you so much. With that, Kel, take care, stay safe. God bless you all. And take care, stay safe. God bless you all. And not forgetting from myself, from everybody, come on, guys, all together. No surrender.
No surrender ever.
Good night,
Never.
Guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Kel.
Good night, John Boy.
Thank you.
People might say that I should go for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. My new deal of tax was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your facts. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, don't place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Into archives. I still can't see the studio, but we're definitely into archives, guys. I don't know who's
here. And you know what?
Now,
it is really weird looking into the studio and seeing you there with your hand raised.
Well,
I'm still here, Jeff.
I want to say something. Can I say something, please?
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. Should I bring this guy on or what? What should we do now? Hey, for you down there, what do you think? Should we bring this guy on the air? What do you think?
Maybe we should.
Yeah. Freya is saying, does he have kibble? Yes, he has kibble. Okay, bring him on.
Who's we got here tonight then, Kel? Is Michael still here?
We've got Michael with us,
I'm just bantering about the good news from Afghanistan on the internet and just kind of...
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, we've got a little celebration.
Oh, Michael, that's fantastic.
Oh, yes, we got a celebration. And the good news is that the mosque was actually damaged too, so we could surmise that some Qurans might have gone up in flames. Now, Tim, I think that these Muslims are in trouble because they've damaged the house of Allah, and they've inadvertently burned some Qurans.
Yeah, that's
oh dear.
Yeah,
punishable by death, isn't it, under Sharia law?
Well, I don't know. I think the 172-year-old virgin for eternity is going to be punishment enough.
I agree. But no, as I say, it's very interesting news, and maybe we will follow this and to see how it expands and what comes. Whether other people might start taking notice of, as you say, like a domino effect. Who can tell? Who can tell that other people might think they've got the right idea?
It's happened before. It doesn't happen often enough, but these cave dwellers do from time to time kind of screw up when they're creating these IEDs and, you know, bombs, and they prematurely detonate, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Prematurely detonation.
Sounds
like a human problem.
I was going to say, you know what that's like, don't you? Yeah.
No, I don't, Tim.
Oh, my
God.
Oh,
dear.
Sorry about that. Oh, dear.
Well, we are into archives now, so a bit of frivolity.
That was one of the...
I have something, I have an important thing I have to direct to Tim and Jeff and Kel. Well, Kel knows about this. I've been in touch with the people from the Australian Defence League, and maybe you two gentlemen and Kel might be interested in communicating with them about them setting up a radio program, which I suggested they do because they need to expand their horizons.
They certainly do. And what can I say? You know, they're always welcome on the show, or if... I don't know why they don't do what we do, you know, set up their own radio station.
Well, maybe you could give them some
pointer. Right,
you know,
wouldn't it?
Maybe you could kind of give them a little feedback on how to do it. You can connect with them.
Yeah.
I could put it together if you'd like.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I mean, you know, the technical side of things, I mean, we've always got great people that can guide them through with it. You know, people like Kel, people like Tim, and other people like Ivan. You know, it's you know, once you roll with it, it's like me. I was thrown in the deep end, and you just go with it, don't you? At the time, and when I think most people have listened to my first broadcast, Michael. It was quite funny, really, but it was just a new dawning for me. And it's great. I mean, after a while, it hit the road running. It was become very popular in a very short while. And I would say the same to anybody. If you want to do it, do it. Just do it. Okay, you make mistakes. We all do. We're human. But you learn by them, and you get better as you go along.
I mean, the other thing is, Jeff, is that, you know, when you're starting up this sort of enterprise, it's always nice to be able to talk directly to somebody who's already done it. Now, I'm sure you'd be more than happy to do this, Jeff. But,
I would.
But Mike, if you're in touch with these guys and you wanted to give them my email, I'd be quite happy for them to correspond with me directly if they've got a specific queries and they just want somebody to talk to who knows a little bit about it, because I remember when I was first looking into setting up the Freedom Loving Infidel, even though I had already been speaking on EDL radio, I found that when Red Fox Blogger. Oh, did I mention Red Fox Blogger? I don't think I did.
I think
and
you mentioned Red Fox Blogger,
Okay.
Did we mention Red Fox Blogger?
The point is that if you've got somebody...
Did he mention the Red Fox Blogger? I don't know.
No, I don't think I did. And Red Fox Blogger. That's the important one.
I'm a shameless self-promoter. I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is that
I don't even know how to put even the slides still onto the, you know, the little slides you have for the shows. I still haven't worked that out. Kel's always done that, or other people.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean,
I've never been technical minded for those sort of things.
But I mean, I'd be quite happy happy to talk to them. And of course, with the Australian Defence League, they've no doubt got loads of pictures of venomous spiders that they could let us have.
Oh, my God.
On our show.
I don't think they're the final spiders, though, right, Tim?
Spiders? Spiders?
Hey, Jeff. Oh, excuse me. Jeff, you came up with a good. I think it would be great if you guys wanted to invite the president of the AD Australian Defence League on your program.
I would very much welcome that gentleman.
I think wouldn't that be great?
It certainly would.
It would be fantastic
if you could set something up for us. We would really love to have the gentleman on the show. You know, everybody's welcome, and to have the president of the Australian Defence League on the show will be. Absolutely. Well, our listeners would love it. We know that, don't we, Kel and Tim? You know.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fantastic.
And I'm Jeff's tech end on the program. If they want to come on Jeff's show, they can get in touch with me, and I will send them all the details on how to get here and the times and all that, Michael.
That
so
is fantastic.
If
you
want
you,
to...
Kel.
What I'll do, Michael, after the program, I'll send you a private message on Facebook and give you my email address, and you can pass it on to one of the representatives over there, and they can get in touch with me either there or they can get in touch with me on my Facebook account as well. So, yeah, Michael, we'll do that.
Great.
That's great.
And as I say, I look forward to...
They've got a nasty group of Muslim fascists there. They have there's a particular group I was researching that exists in Australia, and... they were actually banned in Germany. Germany banned them. They're Salafists.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they exist in the UK. Maybe they do, but they definitely have a branch in Australia.
Maybe a small percentage. Yeah,
they're not, well, one is one too many, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. But, yeah, that sounds very interesting. Hopefully we could set something up, and it just gives us a... You know, we can if we know that the gentleman's coming on the show, we will we'll start promoting it like we normally do. So and it'd be really really great to have him on the show. Really will do. Just, you know, it sounds across the globe, isn't it? We all said that, and we know the Australian Defence League have been around for a little while. Well, I know they've revamped a couple of times, so. Like sometimes you do, you sort of, you move your personnel around a little bit, but it'd be great. Yes, so if you can sort something out like that, Michael, we look forward to welcome the gentleman onto the show in a future date. Yeah, there you go.
And
okay.
I just sent Michael my email information in our private inboxes on Facebook. So, Michael, it's there waiting for you. Oh, and Michael's seen it. Oh, you're welcome, Michael. Boy, we're good. Boy, the high-speed internet, I tell you.
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
Amazing. This technology.
It's great to have a high-speed connection. You just kind of zoom in right along.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
But so I just wish I'd had the right connection tonight when I called in. It's happened twice now, and it's a little bit, it's a bit off-putting when, you know, the studio, you know, I had the chat room, but I didn't have the studio as such, you know. But never mind. Hopefully, at Sunday, we'll be back to some sort of normality. But
it was funny. It was funny when I was, I'm all alone in the studio. And there's the host of the show waving his little hand. I want to come on the air. It's like, oh, should I bring him on the air? It was an executive decision. I had to refer to Freya. She's
well,
said,
I'm glad
like
you
I say,
did. You know, this
she,
is what I always.
Yeah,
you know, ladies
well, she likes
this
Tammy,
is what I always
so.
Say. If I've got a problem. And Kel reads me very well. She knows I'm normally on this bunch of time. If I'm not, she will take a decision on my behalf, sort of thing. And same as I hope with Tim and Tommy, you know, if things are not, I've got a few issues that I can't deal with, then. But the show must always go on, isn't it? That's it.
Absolutely.
But,
and I'm always hanging around the joint anyway, so it's no, you know, it's no sweat off my brow at all. I came in and it was like it was 8:25. It's like I'm the only one in the chat room. Okay, it's 8:26. I'm still alone. And then Army joined me, and then it was 8:27, and it's like, where's Jeff? And I go back to the studio. I'm the only one there. It's 8:28. The show starts in 2 minutes. It's 8:29. I have to call in as the host.
Oh, no. I mean, I was trying to get, and I was having all sorts of, you know, like what I had before, Kel. It was just, I got a wrong number, then it just wouldn't. And then when I finally got through, I couldn't because the host had already called into the show. And I had to call in as the guest anyway because I was just too late. And thank you, Kel, for what you did tonight. It was a great decision that you made there because the show's got going on time, isn't it? Always.
My pleasure.
But I'm going to cut it a little bit short this evening, guys, because I do need to have a drink of tea. I've had a little tickly cough, which has really been annoying me tonight. But I'd like to thank you all once again for being a part of a great panel. And
yeah.
As I say, Michael, if you can hook up with that gentleman, the president of the Australian Defence League.
Oh, yes, I'm going to, for certain.
I mean, maybe we can have a quick Skype. We can do a Skype conference call, and, you know, I can just explain a few things, and Kel and Tim can maybe explain some of the technical things, and away we go. And, you know.
Well, he sounds
yeah.
like an interesting guy. He, from what I understand, if I'm correct, I think he's served in the Australian Army, so he's a former digger.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
oh, that
so
was brilliant.
So I think he,
we look forward to that, Michael. Thanks for.
I'm going to. Yeah,
been
God willing, I'm going to put that together.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's lovely. But I've got to. As I say, Kel, I've got to thank you once again for stepping in and doing such a great job as you've done this evening, Tim. I know you took a little bit of time out to come on to the show because I know you was a bit busy yourself, but thanks again. Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Being
it's great to be here with fellow
infidel.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is a great panel. You managed to find the best, Jeff. Like, I don't know how you do it on that budget. That's what my husband always says. How do you do it on your budget?
I've always been pretty lucky that there's lots of good people out there, and, you know, and that people like Michael and Tim and yourself and Tommy, and it's a great feeling to know that I've got great people like you guys, and I always feel confident when we do these shows, because the things what we bring to the, each of us bring to the show is different aspects of things, and that's what our listeners like to hear, different views of things, and now and again they might interject and call in and few things they want to ask one of us or all of us, and that's what it's all about, and I think, you know, what we're doing is great stuff. So anyway, I'm going to say good night to you all, and we'll be back again this Sunday. I know Kel has got a great show this evening. Hopefully,
that's right. Oh my goodness, that's
would you
right.
Like
I'm
to,
on
just
at
before
I'm
we
on
go,
in
Kel,
a little over an hour.
Would you like to
I'm on at 7 p.m. Eastern time. What's
a little bit about the show this evening, Kel.
Tonight the Red Fox blogger is going to ask you to love the apostate, and I have a wonderful story out of the Netherlands of a gentleman who is, he's from Palestine. He emigrated to the Netherlands. He's an apostate, and he's a poet, and he has a lot of nasty things to say about Islam, and so that's going to be the launch of the show tonight. I'm also going to be discussing a charity I'm involved with, and all sorts of other things, all sorts of goodies going on at the Red Fox tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's what we say, you know, Blog Talk Radio, there's some great shows. I mean, you know, like with Kel's show and with Hold You, who's got a great show tomorrow. And in the very near future, we'll have our own Tim, Cat Strangler 101. Meow! with his own show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm giving a shameless plug because Tim is my Monday co-host on the Red Fox Blogger Monday afternoons at 3 p.m.
He's a busy man.
Standard time. Yes. And so Tim
man.
And I, we get together and we fight the scourge together over there as well.
Indeed.
There you go. And that's what it's all about. We're in this together. All together to do the battle with the evil that is out there, and great works we're doing, guys. But I'm going to say good night to you all, Michael, Tim, Kel. Kel, could you play us out with a little tune? Is there something?
Yeah, there's something here I'm looking at, and it's called a song for Sue. If we've not played it before, we certainly haven't played it for a long time.
I
just out of curiosity,
I
think I'll go with
this one. Tommy had put by for us, especially. Yeah. And, of course, that's our Sue from New Mexico, bless her. She's all tunes into the show. So, I think that would be great. Also, just before we go, Kel, we've just got to give a thoughts and prayers for our serving soldiers who's out in Afghanistan, all our boys and girls. American friends and that, and the Canadians, all our allies together. This time of night is always in my thoughts and my prayers. You stay safe, guys, and because I know we're there not very long, they'll be out there doing the duty again. So, big salute to you all. Take care, guys, and. Bloody hell, it'll be Christmas soon, wouldn't it, guys? I'm just thinking, looking at the clock here, and I've seen the day, my goodness me, it's counting down now, isn't it, Kel and Tim?
We have to get ready for our Christmas special, Jeff.
Yes, we certainly do, Kel. I might be at my sister's that week, because I know I'll be down there a week before Christmas, so it might be a Christmas special
from
Londonistan.
I loved doing the Christmas special for you last year. I had a blast doing it. It was great.
Yeah,
I love doing the Christmas specials. Yeah, I love Christmas.
I know.
Okay.
Okay then, right then, guys. And
good night, everyone.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
We'll be back
everybody.
Again this
good
Sunday.
Yes.
So good night to you all. Kel, if you'd like to do the honors. Once again, thank you for tonight. Absolutely superb.
Absolutely, Jeff. My pleasure again. And it was another honor, another great show. Lovely always to hear from Michael and, of course, Tim.
Yeah. I'm just sorry I was a little bit late, but we made up for it, didn't we, one way and another?
Oh, listen to the beginning of the show. Jeff and I were goofing off again.
I was going to say, Kel, at the end of it, you might have to.
Well, you know, while
the
cat's away,
he didn't like the Spider-Man theme, Tim.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, right, okay.
No, he didn't.
You're terrible.
Okay, I better shut up before I get myself fired here. You guys have a great weekend,
Kel,
and we'll see you back here. We'll see you back here.
We certainly will, Kel.
See everybody back here on Sunday.
Kel, I was going to say at the end of the tune, could you end the episode for me? Because it probably won't let me do
it. Yes, I will.
Okay. Okay.
I will.
So, good night, guys. We'll see you Sunday, and no surrender ever.
Yep, no surrender
ever.
See you soon.
No night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Good night.